Today's reading is in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 11. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So up to this point, Mary does not believe that Jesus has risen, or at least not made that realization. And so she has a very unique experience here, an experience that was not granted to just anyone. And so when she looks in the tomb and she sees these two angels in white, then they ask, "Why are you weeping?" She says, "They have taken away my Lord." Then she sees Jesus, but not yet knowing that it was Jesus. He says to her, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she thinks that he's perhaps the gardener. And she says, "Tell me where you have laid him." But he then reveals himself to her, and she recognizes him and calls him Rabboni, or teacher. And he says, "Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my disciples this message that you are to carry." So she sees these angels, and then she sees Jesus. She has the opportunity to have this brief conversation with him before she rushes off to go and tell the other disciples. Well, the perspective changes at this point from talking about her experience at the tomb to another instance in which these disciples are meeting and Jesus appears to them. Remember, the door is locked. They're concerned about what the Jews are going to do. They've already been able to stir up a crowd to demand that Jesus is crucified. So what else could they possibly accomplish? So they have that door locked, and they know that Jesus wasn't there to begin with, but he appears to them and says, "Peace be with you." Can you imagine an experience like that? Can you imagine being surprised in this way? But it states there in verse 20, they were glad when they saw the Lord. I think that was probably a big understatement. And he says this statement twice. For the second time, he says, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus has sent them out on previous occasions on the limited commission. He's getting ready to send them out on the great commission. They are to be the ambassadors to declare the good news to everyone who will listen, eventually both Jews and Gentiles, but initially it will be to the Jews. He has told them before that he was sent by the Father, and so he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." They've spent the last approximately 3 years preparing for this time, and it is here, not an end, but really just a beginning. Then verse 22 and 23 says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, and if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." They're going to need inspiration for that work. They're going to need the Holy Spirit in order to make a determination about sin itself, to be able to set things in order, and to have that perfect remembrance of those things that Jesus told them before, having had their understanding opened. Now, the Holy Spirit was going to be coming to them, but it was not there at this point. It comes later, as we read in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus has ascended into heaven. And of course, this statement about forgiveness is not giving them authority in any way to change God's law or somehow make extra interpretations of God's law. No, it was to apply God's law. That was what they were supposed to be doing. And so he's telling them, even though he's going to ascend and he won't be there with them anymore, they're going to have this comforter that he's told them about before. They're going to have this inspiration, which he's told them about before. And they're going to have the authority to set these things in order and to make these determinations according to the will of God. For they are being sent by Jesus, who was then sent by God the Father. They are going to undertake a vital mission, and God is equipping them to be able to handle that vital mission. I think you and I understand the importance of proclaiming the gospel. I think we understand the value of the gospel. I don't think we'd be listening to this recording and talking about the scripture and changing things in our lives if we didn't have that kind of a belief that it was necessary and needful for us to overcome sin. However, we do need to make this personal, that it's not just an important work that existed in the first century, and it's not even just an important work that maybe the preacher does or the elders do, but it's an important work that we all do, that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want us to think about that when Jesus presented himself, this is what he talked about. I can imagine the idea that, you know, we don't see somebody for a long time. Maybe we thought they were dead. You see them and you could tell them how much you missed them. You could hug them. You could do all these different things. But Jesus doesn't come and do those things. He comes and tells them, I'm sending you out. Now it's time for you guys to get to work. I think that Jesus is placing the importance on the gospel itself. Yes, presenting himself was important, and presenting himself so that they could believe was important. But yet, he is giving them a work to do, and he's equipping them for that work. I'll point out one last thing also, is that it says in verse 20 that when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. A lot of times we give Thomas a hard time because Thomas asks to see these things, but they had already seen them. We don't have it recorded for us, but perhaps the reason that Thomas asked to see those things was because other disciples told him they had seen those things. So just kind of keep that in your mind as we move forward as well. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.